Morning, everybody. Here we are, Parshas Yitro. So, Parshas Yitro, the central events of Matan Torah, Atzeres HaDibros. So, I'd like to take a look at one particular one of the Atzeres HaDibros, something practical which comes out from it. Yeah, right. Which is, Lo Yisisa Eschema Shema Nekecha Lashon. One of these commandments is not to take Hashem's name in vain. So there's various different strands of this issue. One aspect of it is taking a shvuah with Hashem's name. Another angle is going to be more geared to us. The more it says in Brachos as follows. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish to Amri Travai. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said. Yes, unusually, but they both said. They both said. Call them a Boris Brachos She'enos Tzrichos. Whoever makes a bracha which is unnecessary, which is uncalled for, Oyver Mishum Loy Tisto. The Gemara says that he's Oyver, we're going to see soon how literally the Gemara means it, that the Gemara reads that it is an Avera of Loy Tisto, of taking Hashem's name for no purpose, for no good reason. We'll see soon a little bit more what the definition of Bracha She'en of Tzricha is, but it's included in these two types of unnecessary brachas. There's brachas which are entirely unnecessary, and the extreme example of this would be somebody in the middle of the day just takes a bracha for no reason whatsoever, which we more commonly refer to as bracha than atol. And there could be other types of bracha in the tricha. For example, somebody who is about to have a tzula, and he knows that he's going to wash and eat and have a tzula, and there's a particular food that is going to be part of that tzula, and he, for no good reason, just fancies making a bracha on it now and having a little bit before this at the beginning. Not directly before this is going to begin. Not talking in 20 minutes before he's a bit hungry or something and he has to wait. You have to start the sort of.
That would be wrong.
That is wrong. I shouldn't do that. That's bracha shade is tricha. Because you're causing yourself an unnecessary bracha. Essentially, you're about to sit down and wash. So why do that? Wash and then you won't have to make the bracha. If it would be something that even in the meal you're going to make a bracha, for example, you're going to make a taste of the dessert. But even in the meal you have to make a bracha, then there's no bracha shade is tricha. But if it's the fish or the mashed potato, which is the central part of the meal, you're not going to make a bracha after you've washed. Why shouldn't do that? And we'll see more of some of the practical details of this prohibition. So this is what the Gemara says. There's a concept called bracha shenis tricha, and the Gemara bases it on itself. And this possibly says that it's shen Hashem lekecha lashon, not to use the name of Hashem in vain for nothing. Now there is another, sort of more common and well known idea of using Hashem's name in vain, which is simply what it says elsewhere in the second Tzemurah, Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatol. Somebody uses Hashem's name in vain, he just mentions Hashem's name for no reason. Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatol.
Now, what is it? Did you say Hashem, or has to be the.
No, not Hashem like that. What is a name of Hashem? Whichever name it might be. That's why whenever we have to mention the name of Hashem, we always say it differently. We say Hashem, we say K, we say. Right? We don't say it as it's written.
When people say, oh my...
Yeah, well, we shouldn't do that.
Shouldn't do
that. People have an expression when they're like surprised or taken aback or something, so they say, oh my!
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that one shouldn't say that.
Even in English?
Even in English.
When
you say
it,
it says
it's
the same... I don't know what that means, but no, it's a replacement for saying...
It's saying it... a violation of the sin, of the sin.
That's just how it sticks to that.
And two,
yeah.
Is English considered the name of Hashem, or is
it considered the name of Hashem? About that also, no, it's not. If it's a word in English which means the one above, and then.
It's like saying Hashem. Maybe because there's a.
Because it's English, it's like.
English, because it's the Shema.
I hear it's very important. The word, in English also there's names which are like a type of kinnui, like Hashem, like things one above. But to say the actual English word, G-D,
the question is anything
else? It's always considered like Hashem. The language, if it's a recognized language, it has significance of being not Hashem with all the Kedusha
Shalom,
I mean,
I'm sorry,
but
it,
believe in
Yom,
it is
considered.
Shalom,
I'm
not
following.
Ah, okay, that's to avoid it.
I think so.
To avoid this issue.
So you can
send
me in English,
he doesn't spell it out, he spells out the list.
Of course, it's like translations of the Chumash, and people in opposed to the way to read it properly, or whatever it is.
Often.
I mean, they're going with it, they're going more resistant, that's the thing.
It should be China, I'm not sure. I mean, it's not, perhaps it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs they know, I do think. It might be a sort of some category of one of them, maybe. It's a good China.
At least I hope it is.
Okay, not for your interesting question, we're going to answer all of them. But, so we have these two iskurim. One where the Gemara mentions making specifically a bracha she'en etricha, and this second, which we started to read, the Gemara in Tumura, where the Gemara mentions in more of a general sense, not without mentioning brachas, just generally, one should not be mercy, she'en shamayim v'batola, as parokhe mehecha, for where is this learned out, and the Gemara brings completely different sources. It goes into the general principle of fearing from Hashem. So to fear Hashem is the same, goes into that not to use his name with no good purpose in vain. So I'd like to look a little bit at these two prohibitions. Why are there two prohibitions? What is the difference between them? So there's an avoid here in the Rishonim, actually. What are these two prohibitions? So the Shitta of Tosfos and many other Rishonim is as follows. Let's have a look. Tosfos in the second Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos says that he's drosha. This drosha, the first one, which the Gemara learns brachah she'en etricha. When we learn the prohibition of making a brachah for no purpose, that prohibition actually, says Tosfos, is only the Rabban. We'll see in a second why. Let's skip to the second line, about halfway through. That drosha is the Rabban. Well, most Hashem Shamayim the Vatala, but the other prohibition of stop mentioning Hashem's name for no purpose, that we don't care about the Tumura, which is still Hashem only care for Tiro, that is indeed going right. So that's not the Rabbanon, and the difference between them is Hani Mili Beloy Bracha. It depends if you're saying it in the context of a bracha, of a praise of Hashem, or not. In other words, let's clarify more clearly. The Gemara in Tumura, which speaks about generally saying the name of Hashem in vain. So if that is a full blown, it's a very much. And what we're referring to over there is somebody who mentions the name of Hashem without saying it for any good purpose. Not to praise Hashem, not to give Shabbat, not to thank Hashem, just stuff. Just in the long time, as you say. Just not for no good reason at all. So that is a very righteous prohibition. However, if somebody says a brocha, listen, every time you're saying a brocha, effectively, be it whether you're obliged to say it, if you're not obliged to say it, the bottom line is you are saying a praise of Hashem. So there's point of any place where you are saying the praise of Hashem is not an interdiction. And in fact, even when you're saying a formal brother, even if it's wrong and you're not supposed to say it, there's point of that is not included in the right of prohibition or change your mind and about thought. Because it's not entirely levatot, it's not entirely in vain. We weren't obliged to say it, we weren't supposed to say it, but it's not an intermediary right. So this, the Gemara we started with in Brothers, where we learn that the Gemara says, anybody who makes an unnecessary brother is uyver on Lois Tisov. So the point was, this is one of the occasions where the Gemara uses it as a last master. It's not a full blown intermediary right, because any place where you are mentioning the Shem Hashem, with a praise attached, it's not true Shem Shamayim Levatol. And the Isra over here is simply an Isra Drabon. Chazal in the sacking brothers, they're in the sacking, not to make brothers in a place where it's unnecessary, where it's not called for, where you're not supposed to be making them, but it's not a full blown Isra Drabon.
So
it's not
like this, often you see people thinking, we have Shem Barashim, this would be anything in here.
Yeah, so let's jump. I'm going to speak about this more at the end of a more practical angle, but certainly very practical. What about people quite frequently say, thank
you?
Baruch Hashem is okay, because Hashem is not a shame Hashem. It's itself, although we use it very frequently, we mean Hashem, but it's in principle, it's just a euphemism, I think is the right word, yeah? But what about people who say in English, thank G. They say, put it. So if we base ourselves on what we said a second ago, that also in English one shouldn't use the Shem Shamayim Levatolot, but over here, actually, Me'ikazim, there's no Ether. One has to be careful how one says it, and so you say it only correctly and properly. But if one pretty means what one's saying it in the correct context, there's no issue. Because here, what are you doing? You are actually, you are praising Hashem. That's what you're saying. Thanks, Hashem. And it's not included in this prohibition of a brach on the bachal. It's not a brach. So actually, any place where you're using the same Hashem as a praise, and you are not making a brach, it's okay. You have to be careful. But in principle, it's okay.
But it still has status as a, G-O-D
has still status as a director? Yeah, if you're saying it for no reason whatsoever. Not, I'm saying not for a praise.
But if the G-O-D is to have status
of the... Yeah, that was the same thing. The Indians,
that would
be the
case.
But the people
G-O-D
are
really...
G-O-D
is to have the same status as the UK.
Why not? Why not?
Why
not?
That's not the certain things you can say in English, just like, which are acceptable. So why
not?
Why not? Why not?
It's not because of the... You're right, but the shamus of Hashem in Lashon HaKodesh have a particular added sort of special kedusha and deep significance with very deep things that we don't understand, which is true, which isn't there in English. But over here, the prohibition is not based on the special added deep kedusha of these names or something. It's the true reference to Hashem which is being used in...
Chipping
it in the wrong context. Now Tosfos says, I'll prove to you my position, says Tosfos, that it must be that Brachon Levatola is only a Drabon. When you're saying a Brachon is Levatola, it's just Drabon. This says, I'll prove it. Because the Gemara discusses a particular Brachon. There's an opinion in the Gemara, there's an opinion in the Gemara that the Brachon of Emes Vayatid in the morning after Krishma is the right. It would be the right, because that would be the cue of the security to try that. That's the time. So if the day is starting with the morning, then the brother enters the yachtid in the morning after Krishna is very right. The Gemara comes and says, according to the start that it's very right, according to that opinion, if you had to stop it, whether you said it or not, if you forgot whether you said it, stop it very right or not. Says Pfeiffer, that's all very fine if brother Levatola is only the Rabbana. So if Brachon Levatola Yitzchak is the writer, how can one come and say, oh, I've got a suffix if I said Emes V'Yad? So what does that mean? Maybe you did say it, maybe you didn't say it. So if you didn't say it, you need to say it again. You need to say it now. If you've already said it, then you don't need to say it. It's a Brachon Levatola. We cannot be stringent to be Mekai V'Mitzvah when the price to pay is a possible if the writer of Brachon Levatola. How can it be that the Gemara says that if Emes V'Yatid is very right, then if you have a topic, you should say it again? How can that be? If Brachon Levatola is very right, you cannot be stringent to repeat the mitzvah of Emes V'Yatid at the price to pay of an Aveira is very right. Hello, my dear Tosfos. But also, not be that the fact is only Drabbanon. Okay, so over here, Chazal waives the prohibition where you have the possibility of fulfilling a mitzvah very right. That would be okay. So that is the tradition of Tosfos. However, the Rambam does not sound at all like Tosfos. He mentions in one sentence, a number of different cases of using the Shem Shalai inappropriately. We'll see here, the Rambam is just before the line. Rambam Shuas is based text. Hashem Nea Al Koras Hashem Yipi Chaveri. When we hear somebody else saying the Shem Hashem Lashon, Oishe Nishma Lachon of Hashekah, or using the name Hashem for Shavuot Shekah, Oishe Birish Brachos Shein of Tzricha, Shavu Oigre Mishum, Noite Shem Hashem Lashon. In all these three cases, he transgresses, Lechitza Shem Hashem Alekech Lashon. A simple meaning of the Rambam sounds not like Tosfos. Morgan Avraham is redacted. It says that Machlokes in the Rambam and Tosfos. The Rambam implies that also making a bracha she'ena tzricha, an unnecessary bracha, is also doyraita. Not like Tosfos that an unnecessary bracha is only the Rambam because at least you're praising the she'ena Hashem. Implication of the Rambam is that any unnecessary bracha is an itzah doyraita. So That's the Mogra Rabbi, but that's the lesson of the Rambam. That's how he says it. But Toysus in the Rambam, and Toysus. The Rambam holds that even if, even if when it's a brother, if it's English, it's a tricha, it's a vera. Or let's say there's a Gemara, what we said earlier, when we started with a brother, the son of a Boris, brother, she in a tricha, is a uiver, on my sister, the Rambam says that it's kipshuta. It's a direct mamish.
How we pass?
If it was 100% bottom line, the main inclination of most of the posting is more than it's the Rambam. So it doesn't make so much. How much practical luck can it make? So there's a couple of massive questions on this Rambam. The Chayodom asked these questions. I will ask the question. Two very big questions on it. How can it be that it's so right? For example, there's a well-known din which the Rambam himself recalls. I put it here in the Rambam after the line. The Rambam says that without connection to brother, so the Rambam, what happens if somebody mistakenly mentions the name Hashem? So the Rambam, right away, what you should do is Yishabeach miyad Yishabeach yefayr yehader kedeshla yizokar levatolah. In order to avoid you being ashamed for my levatolah, says the Rambam, you know what you do? Right away you say some praise of Hashem. Kesa, says the Rambam, Omer, Omer Hashem, if mistakenly one said the name of Hashem. Praise be. Okay, it's the one there.
Where are you reading
it? I'm reading after the line. Yeah. You see there's a Rambam. I'm sorry, I jumped this a little bit. I read the last two lines of that Rambam.
Oh,
if he makes a mistake and he says the Shem Shemayim the Latala, right away you should praise the Shem Hashem. So it appears that the Rambam is telling us, in regular Shem Shemayim the Latala, if one mentions the name of Hashem Levatol, what do you do? You finish off by saying a praise, and then that sorts it out, because you said the name of Hashem with praise attached, which is not a problem. The ask me.
So when we call Hashem Kavod, that's the one. What's the point of saying praise?
Kesa, Ola Hashem, if one says the name of Hashem, Oyle, Borokula, whatever, any saying or praise of Hashem. In order that it shouldn't be the Batal.
Okay.
So the question is asked now, if that's so, some of you said the name of Hashem the Batal. He said the name of Hashem the Batal, he can now sort it out by adding praise. So if when you say the name of Hashem with praise attached, it's not a Baruch the Batal. So how can it suddenly, it's not a Shem Shemayim the Batal, how can it be that every person would say a Baruch the Batal? According to the Rambam, it's an Isadai writer. Well, a brachah of Atala is the name of Hashem with praise attached.
Yeah.
So what's the great Isad? The Magnificat.
How can you say that you think this, and you have left us with this, saying, oh, I didn't
know, I don't know, that's not the intention. Because over here, let's concentrate on somebody who said the Shem Shemayim of Atala, for example. Just said the name of Hashem. So if right away he attaches to that sentence praise, so it's not a Shem Shemayim Levatol anymore, it's transformed it. It's not, you know, not compensated by doing a nice mitzvah afterwards. You've actually transformed what you've originally done. So it's not a Shem Shemayim Levatol anymore.
And the Rambam doesn't agree with that.
No, the Rambam himself, this is the Rambam. The Rambam himself says, if you say the Shem Shemayim, so you say the Shem Shemayim wrongly, tax to it praise, and that's sorted out. So how can it be that a brother, the official formal Muslim of a brother Levatol is an Isadai right? How can it be?
It's the main praise.
It's the main praise. Every bracha that I follow. So you said it with a praise. So what's so bad?
Tell me how some words. So you guys do a shirita by mistake for any names or not. And then you say, oh, Hashem Roland Zahe?
No. Because that's bracha that I follow. Bracha that I follow is a separate sugya. For some reason, which is what we're trying to understand.
Is that only bracha that you end with sugya?
No, this is Shem Shemayim. Shem Shemayim that I follow. Without a bracha. No bracha attached. He just said the name of Hashem. So the Rambam assigns to that, let's finish off by adding some praise, and then everything will be fine, it's not even a prohibition at all. The question we're asking now is, if that is so, what is so wrong with a bracha levatol? Every bracha levatol is essentially the same thing. You said the name of Hashem with praise attached, so what's so bad? Furthermore, another question on the Rambam, which is similar to the point we spoke about before when we learned from A further question on the Rambam is that the Rambam himself says, what will be in a situation where somebody has a bracha which he has to make min ha-toyr, which is unusual? But let's say Birkas HaMoseh. Birkas HaMoseh is a bracha there, right? At least when one ate kebeli sabiyah, one was ate a meal and was satisfied. Says the Rambam, what will be if you cannot remember if you made Birkas HaMoseh or not? Sopik. So the Rambam says, you know what? Sopik the right to the Chumrah. Not sure if you made the bracha or not. So maybe you made it already. Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. That's Sopik the right to the Chumrah. So make it again. The Kashi is asked that according to the Rambam himself, and that's what the Rambam Paskin says, according to the Rambam himself, that the Rambam holds that the prohibition of bracha levatolah is an Issa Daraita. How can you go and make the Birkas HaMoseh again to be Mekayim Mitzvah Tasein? To go ahead sort of openly, positively, actively, and do something where you might be transgressing an Issa. It would be better to do nothing. A muscle of Allah Adama Doyle, a boy who we don't know if Shabbat is the eighth day. A little baby boy needs to have a priest. It might be that Shabbat is the eighth day, it might be eighth, might be no. It was born on Friday during Beit HaShemesh. We don't know if Shabbat is the eighth day or not. It's obvious, and everybody knows this. This is the halacha. You don't go ahead and do the bris on Shabbat because maybe it's a mitzvah, but maybe it's still Shabbat. So you wait. And here there's another option, so don't do it. How can the Rambam advise us to go ahead and make the Birkas HaMoseh in a case where we might be being over the list? Okay, so let's try and answer those two questions on the Rambam. Let's focus first on this one about Birkas HaMoseh.
Speaking in Mitzvah Dereza, by Mitzvah Dereza, as a Hashasha,
you shouldn't do. Only when it's a bracha. Any Mitzvah Dereza which is a bracha. But we don't have very many of those. Only Birkas HaMoseh. Maybe Birkas HaTorah, according to some opinion. So, but in Birkas HaMoseh, how can the Rambam tell us to go ahead and mix the bracha? Maybe we're being over on the right. So to answer that question, the authority says, if you've got them, so here's on top of the next page. The Prima Godim answers, sorry, the Kitzur is not so clear, he's Lashon, but the Prima Godim answers that the Rambam holds that once we have to look at this item, we have to look at this procedure as sort of in stages. Person doesn't know whether he's made Birkas HaMoseh or not. Sopik the right of the Chumrah tells him that he needs to make it. Once Sopik the right of the Chumrah has told you that now this is a bracha which is necessary, it has been told to you that now you have to make this bracha, then it's no longer bracha shein tricho or bracha levatolah. We don't look at this on the sort of general overall picture and say, it's actually a topic whether you have to make this bracha or not. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, and you're just making it because you want to be matne, but maybe you don't have to make it. And if you don't have to make it, then it's a bracha levatolah. We don't look at it that way.
The moment calls for you to do it.
Right, once your duty is that's what you've got to do. Now it's decided that that's what you've got to do. That's what you've got to do. You have to make it. So it's not bracha levatolah. That's how the Rambam looks at it. The question how to look at it. At least in this concept, how to look at the concept of it being a topic of the right of the Chumrah to make his Birkas HaMoseh. So the Rambam says, it's not a question of bracha levatolah anymore. Now that you've been obliged to make it because of topic of the right of the Chumrah, it's no longer a question of bracha levatolah.
Would be the whole
Birkas
HaMoseh is the right, because part is the right, part is the
right. You're asking a good question. I'm not sure. What will be in the four brothers? So the first three brothers are the right. So in this situation of somebody, it's a very good question. I remember seeing it spoken about, but what will be in this situation of somebody who doesn't know if they made Birkas HaMoseh or not? So we're telling him, well, some of the right of the Chumrah, so go ahead and make the brothers. So maybe only till when the Barakim shall I go
make? It's
a good question. Very good question. To look at it. Look at it. I'm not sure. Very good question. Let's just go back to the other question on the Rambam. So we asked on the Rambam, how can it be that every bracha levatolah is an Issa Daraita? If when you tell me that you should say the name of Hashem with praise attached, that's perfectly permitted. So what's wrong with the bracha levatolah? So there is, I didn't put it on the sheet, so I don't have it on the computer, but there's a statement called the Chavetz Chaim in Yerushalayim. an unusual place. It's not a place one would expect to find it, but he discusses this question, and he says that one has to make a distinction between somebody who is saying the name of Hashem on a voluntary basis in order to praise, which is fine, and somebody who thinks that he's fulfilling a duty. But it's a fine distinction, and it's a little bit ironical. But he says that actually over here, somebody who says the name of Hashem, thinking that he's fulfilling a duty, fulfilling an obligation, he's not fulfilling any obligation. That's much worse. That is a type of levatol. You're only doing it because you want to praise the name of Hashem. Because you feel so thankful to Hashem, you really want to praise them and whatever. That's fine. You want to do that, that's fine. In fact, he says maybe there's many zmiris and piyutim. It's not even use the word Baruch Ata Hashem as in the context of the zeder of the field, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when a person thinks that he's saying a required bracha, which, and he's under the impression that he's doing this because he's obliged to do it, and he's not obliged to do it, that's much worse. The interesting concept, and we do have that in one or two other places as well, that when one's doing it, the shame choyva, and one's not obliged to do this, it makes it worse. You're doing it for nothing then, effectively. You're not obliged to do it, so why are you doing it? The interesting sort of twist is, that's how he explains the opinion of the rabbi. We've come to the end of our time, but I'd just like to look briefly, I've put on the sheet a sort of summary of a few halachos here of bracha shel tzricha, which would be nice to look at because they are indeed practical. So on the next side of the sheet. So what's a bracha shel tzricha? We said some of these things at the beginning. Bracha shel tzricha. Kegoyim, for example, shemavorik potos hasuda al zavorik shenitzeru kava. Let's say somebody's in a suda in the middle of a meal, and he makes brachas on things that one doesn't need to make a bracha. They're already potter for a bracha because of any day brings some oitzi. So do have brachas, though in the Sereti Klav, that's a bracha shein tzrik, we want to be careful not to do that. Another example, Afilim Asha Baiha, bracha levatol gamti. Even if now, in this particular instance, the bracha is not levatol, Kegoyim Shulchan Ay Oral Tlefon. For example, the Shulchan is ready to eat. But I can name it a little yod of the lechot. And he's going to go wash his hands to eat. But they can't put them in a seal of a vorek al zaiko, al zorik, she zaiko la okon the tefah tura. And one takes before the meal, and one's about to be on your way to wash. And you take things which you're going to eat during the meal, and you make on them a bracha, and you eat them now. Doesn't that also want you to do that, like we mentioned before?
They're not the Moroccans. Yeah. They have this before eating, they do the whole thing like this, and they have all the knick-knack things. And then after that, you do the meal.
So,
Nishma?
Chavos Chaim discusses this in Hilchos Shabbos somewhere. He says, like even Ashkenazim, also a lot of people like to make kiddush and have cake, or in the good old foreign places they like to have herring and whiskey or whatever before the meal.
Sometimes you have guests and you know they are in a shul where they end much later, so then it could be that this one will be tight, so we try to do a kiddush on the sun off and then wait until next. Maybe they come 5 minutes later, right? I mean, they come up now.
So it is going to be a sort of very reasonable type of gap. Yeah, 20 minutes, half an hour between your kiddush and the eating meal, that's fine. One shouldn't do it with that. But some people do it like that just because they want to have kiddush, because they like to start with some cake and some herring. That one shouldn't do. Although there are opinions that look into this so much that I want to say with certainty that there are some who are more makel about added brothels on Shabbos, because the advantage of being able to be much better than their brothels.
That's the reason they do it.
Yeah, that's the reason they do it. Okay, let's continue on the third point. The culture here, how much more so, a mastic being brocha la asir, not to make a brocha and then suddenly be mastic and go do something else in such a way that you're going to have to make now a fresh brocha. All these activities are included to go in, which is part of the brocha rishon and the gamri. Now you cause yourself to lose the first brocha. So even though originally maybe you made it with intent, it should be a good brocha. Now you've got to do something in between, it makes you lose the bracha, that's also being raised on this system. That is the point which we've been asking about a lot. In his case, Hashem levatolot has b'sholom. B'shem shemayim levatolot. Lo daf b'shem shel dal v'yitim. Not only b'shem for that name, starting with Yud K. Who adin shari shem? Also other name, gam kei b'chol pei. And in the next point, for who adin, similarly, in Hoytzi Hashem, b'loshim la levatolot. To mention the name Hashem Levatola in other languages.
Love,
foreign languages. The Hanu, not in the sense of praise and thanks, just Levatola. Dumping Yeshis, so that too is
for it. And what about, like, say, saying that, like Shalom Aleichem, they also going to be considered if you call someone, if you call someone by his name, that's the name Shalom, I have a son. That's not a problem.
No, I'm sure it's not a problem. Because the interesting question, why not? So it seems that the name Shalom is considered more like a type of euphemism for Hashem or something like I mean, they are Hashem, but Hashem is not a problem, so we mean Hashem. Not considered Hashem, Hashem much.
But
we need to do more investigation.
Well,
which
again, the Goyim in
Lod,
I mean, yeah, what the Goyim say, you know, they don't know what they're even saying.
There must be a difference between a word that the very longest is silent, and one that gets out of in Torah as well. What constitutes an actual true word for something, and what constitutes a word that's just a...
Can I make a request?
A euphemism, a reference.
Can I make a request?
Yes.
If we can continue this for Wednesday?
I'm not sure how much...
I have two boards, one morning, one evening. I don't mind it, but this is a very, very important.
It is very important, isn't it? We've mentioned quite a lot of points.
So the
one
with
Shalom
is an issue,
or not? No, I don't think so. It's very hard to hear. I've never heard such a thing.